This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, and that means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Definitely not your 2022 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, the season has come to an end for the Washington Capitals. They went out with a whimper. I don't think anybody really had any doubt in their minds that they were not going to beat Florida with the way that they were playing. Joining me, as always, to talk all things about the Capitals, Coach Dan. What's going on, man? How you doing?
You know, from a sports world, things are sort of collapsing around me. My preferred sporting teams that I support are not doing very well at the moment of those that are playing. Baseball, my top European football team, and the Caps are knocked out of the playoffs when they probably could have won this thing in four, five, or six.
Baseball-wise, I've just come to expect not a winning season when you're a Baltimore Orioles fan. But Adley Rutschman, get up here. Get up here, man. No, he's in Norfolk, sorry. Adley, get on up here. Call that kid up. He was supposed to come up Monday. He's not here yet. I want to see that kid debut while they're still in Baltimore. So,
what is he in back order?
He's in Norfolk. I don't know why they're not calling him up. He is ready. They drafted him 3 years ago as the number one draft pick. Just bring the kid up already. Come on. But anyway, so let's talk about what went wrong here. The Capitals, they lost to the Florida Panthers. They really let this slip away. They let it kind of slip through their fingers. I felt like this team came out rolling at the beginning of this series. They lost Tom Wilson. Vitek Vanacek really stumbled in game two. And then after that, the Capitals kind of just would go up 3-0 in a game and then let that game slip away. It's as if, I don't know, they didn't know how to finish a game. This team, I don't know who this team is right now. I'm going to be honest. This is kind of a weird spot to be in.
Well, I don't know if it's that weird, not to be counter against you, but I don't know if it's that weird because this is the fourth year in a row we've been knocked out in the first round. So that's, you know, a very telling problem in itself. And
the last time they won a series is the 2018 Cup year.
Yeah, when the last series this team won them Lord Stanley's Cup. Since then, they have not been able to win a series. And, you know, there's a couple different reasons for that. Every year, there's excuses and reasons for it.
What is your excuse?
Sometimes the other team just happens to be... they're not getting excuses. I can tell you why it's likely they didn't, in my opinion anyways, that they lost the series. And there's multiple reasons. I don't think the goaltending is a reason. I think Samsonov, yes, there's a couple of goals throughout the games that he played that he probably would have liked back, you know, maybe two or three of them. But I don't think he's the reason they lost.
Really?
Like, I don't. I think that, yes, with a top-notch goaltender, with Holtby in his prime, do they win this series? Probably still not. But, you know, I don't blame the goalies for this. You know, could he have been better? Yeah. They lost the first round series, so clearly everybody could have been better. But I don't think it's his fault. I don't think it's fair to look at him and go, you know what, this one's on you, buddy. Like, Vanacek, that second game, I'm looking at him. Because that was poor. But Samsonov, I'm giving a pass for this one because I don't think he necessarily got as much help as he should have in front of him. I mean, when you don't give up a power play goal throughout the entire series and you lose,
yeah,
your goalie's not necessarily your problem because your goalie has to be your best penalty killer. And Samsonov did his job. But I'm looking at the team. I'm looking at this point just statistically right now in terms of goals scored or points. Right, Oshie led the team in the playoffs with 7, then Backstrom, then Ovechkin. Ovechkin had 1 goal, but he had 5 assists. Yeah, you expect more goals out of him, but he's still producing. He's setting other people up. Oshie had 6 goals and an assist. Backstrom had 2 and 4. Kuznetsov had 2 and 5. Then Carlson had 5 points. That's not bad. You know, Mantha didn't score a goal, but he had 4 assists. Eller had 3 and 6. You know, but I'm looking going a little further down, and I'm not seeing a guy stepping up like a Devontae Smith-Pelly who did during the cup run. You know, you need your role players. You need your guys like Verhaeghe that are going to step up and do something. You know, Wilson had gotten a goal, but he only played like, what, 90-something seconds? Connor Sheary, one assist in six games. Connor McMichael, even though he's probably getting about 5 minutes a night, one assist in four games. Nick Jensen, no points. Favari, with top-line minutes with John Carlson, no points. And a minus seven. Nick Jensen, minus five. And I am not the biggest fan of the, you know, plus-minus statistic, but it is a little telling. Orlov, one assist. This is a guy who—he's not necessarily the biggest offensive defenseman, but produce a little bit, man. Marcus Johansson, acquired to be a top-six player, one goal and one assist in six games.
So he's not coming back, you think?
Well, no. I don't think he or Johan Larsson are coming back, and I would imagine that was never really the plan for a couple of different reasons. One is cap space, two is the amount that they're probably going to want, and three is their age. Johansson is—he'll be 32 at the beginning of next season— Larsson will be 30 this summer. So, no, I think this team is... this. If I remember this correctly, and I could be wrong, but I believe this is the, if not one of the oldest teams, average-wise, in terms of age, one of the oldest teams in the league. This team needs to get younger, and it needs to get faster. And you're not going to do that by re-signing guys that are, you know, in their mid-30s, or just turning, early to mid-30s.
Are you going to do that, though, with Brian McClellan and Laviolette at the helm? Because
didn't McClellan come out and say he wants to get younger?
I guess so, but he's
well,
the
not
guy...
he wants to get younger. That's not how time works.
I think we all want to get younger.
I am down for that. And I'm only 37.
You see, the thing is, he can say, oh, we got to get younger, we got to do this, we got to do that. He's the guy that is constantly bringing in veterans. He's the guy that brought in Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen. Like, hit, that's always been...
Yeah, but look
thing.
At the defense at that time.
He doesn't draft. He doesn't care about the draft a year or two ago where we didn't have a pick to, what, the third round, something like that?
Yeah, well, I don't know if I agree with you on that one, because I don't think he places the emphasis on the draft in sense of, like, this is our way to build the club. Because, you know, when he came in, taking over for McPhee, he was in win-now mode.
Right.
Which worked, because he got them a cup. Look at, like, the Chicago Blackhawks for a number of years, where they had their core of Kane and... I'm forgetting the freaking goalie's name. But they had Kane and Taves and Duncan Keith and Seabrook. And, like, they had their core dudes, and then they'd win the cup because they'd be up against the salary cap, and then they would trade a bunch of guys away. Like, Dustin Byfuglien got traded to Atlanta. Like, they'd, like, trade a bunch of guys out, and they'd suck for a year, and then they'd come back and go and win another cup a year or two later, because they would constantly be rebuilding the roster. McClellan was in win-now mode. It was give up prospects, give up picks, because that's what you have to do to have the opportunity to bring in top-line talent, likely on a deal that's about to expire or expiring soon, to win them a cup, which worked. But now, and I think to an extent he's been trying to do that, but he's also been building up the prospect pool to an extent. We have a fairly decent amount of defensive prospects. We have fairly... well, not really a great forward depth of prospects, but we'll kind of see how that goes as players get older. But the NHL is not like the NFL. It's not like the NBA. It's not as dramatic, or it can be actually somewhat comparable to Major League Baseball, in the sense that, like, when you have a draft outside of usually like the top two to three guys picked, like, none of the rest of them are going to be in the NHL for a couple of years. So when you pick a guy, it's going to take some time. And right now, he said he's not willing to necessarily give up that first. And I think that's why we didn't see them go out and acquire someone that statistically was doing better than a Marcus Johansson. You know, that's why you didn't have them go out and acquire Claude Giroux or something like that, because he didn't want to give up that first-round pick. He didn't want to give up LaPierre or McMichael, even though Laviolette won't play McMichael enough. So I don't think he necessarily doesn't like the draft. I think he prefers veterans for this team because he sees that as what they – or he has seen that as what they've needed – to get over the hump, because the young guys that they have in the prospects, the young guys in Hershey and South Carolina or in the overseas or in Canada, are not ready yet to make that next step. And so he's been preferring the older guys to fill that core void, and it just didn't work. And let's be fair, there's 32 teams, so you're not going to win it every year, unless apparently you're Tampa. But at some point, you have to start looking to the minors. And you have McMichael now that's, you know, has earned a spot in the NHL and probably should get a little bit more opportunities, whether it's on the power play or just more ice time. You've got LaPierre, who's, you know, maybe getting an opportunity next season or the year after that to make a name for himself. He started really strong, and then you realize that dude's like 150 pounds if he's soaking wet with like weights in his shoes. Like, he was getting pushed around like he was nothing. And so, like, all right, he's not quite ready yet after that first game or two. But I would like to see this team get younger through trades or the draft. Like, they're not going to have a high enough draft pick that they're going to pick someone that's necessarily going to make the roster. Like, crazy things have happened in that, you know, there's this, I'm very sure, a very small percentage point. But he didn't he come out recently and say something along the lines of, like, they need to get younger. He was, and at the trade deadline, he wasn't willing to move some of the picks and prospects that they have. Unless it was like, if they were going to come in and bring in a 24-year-old, 25-year-old, like, I'd be like, okay, maybe I'm willing to give up LaPierre or McMichael because you could potentially have that dude you just acquired for 10 years. But he wasn't willing to do that for a rental. He wasn't willing to do it for, a 30 or 31-year-old. So if I'm looking around the league, I know Arizona might be right for some picking. You know, I think that Chukrin kid, the defenseman, is supposed to be pretty good. He, you know, I think there was news about he kind of may want to be moving somewhere else where you're going to see more than 5,000 fans in the arena. He didn't say that. That was my bad joke. But this team needs to get younger. And I'm not saying necessarily with its core, because I think that core of Oshie, Backstrom, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, Carlson are likely standing. Mantha, I think you can kind of incorporate into that. While his statistically, he didn't get a goal. He only had 4 assists in 6 games. I did like what he brought to the team.
Well, let me just.
And I
let
wonder
me,
if
let me,
Wilson stayed healthy, it would have helped.
Yeah, let me cut you off there real quick, because you and I were both.
How dare you, after I cut you off, to cut me off in return? Only I'm allowed to do that.
You and I were both like singing the praises of Anthony Mantha last week, and we were both saying like, "Oh, we're so happy he's here. He's doing so great." Bada bada bada. After our show, he disappeared. Like, he did all that great stuff before our show, and there were, what, 2 games after our show? And,
dude, he wasn't the only one, though.
And he was just not there. But that's the thing. You even said it. We need guys that are not Ovi and Kuznetsov and Wilson and TJ Oshie to show up and fill out those roles and be that Devontae Smith-Pelly type that can make you go far into the playoffs. You need that. Anthony Mantha started off doing that, and then he petered off and then just was non-existent for those last 2 games.
So I can see the last 5 games. I can't see game one. But he had 4 points. I guess he must have gotten an assist in the first game, because he had an assist in the game six when they got knocked out, and he had 2 assists in game 3. I don't have a problem with Mantha. I would have liked to see more goals, but when you're only getting minor contributions across the roster in terms of goal score, if it's not TJ Oshie or Backstrom or Kuznetsov, everybody else scored like a goal. Like, more Mantha's not my concern right now. I'm perfectly fine. I think he's locked up for 2 more years at 5.7. I'm okay with that. He's still only 27. He turns 28 before next season, like shortly before next season. He's not my concern. My concern are the guys that are 36 in Ovechkin, 34 in Backstrom, and 35 that are Oshie. This is your core, and Eller at 33. These are guys that, given, knock on wood, Eller hasn't quite the same injury history, but we're talking about injuries. I mean, Wilson sounds like he may not be ready to start next season.
Yeah.
Depending on, and they're not really revealing it, except for the fact, I think we know it's a knee injury.
Correct.
Backstrom, you know, you're talking about this, and I've seen Ted Starkey on Twitter, and some other people are talking about this. We may have seen him play his last game.
How scary is that?
Potentially. So, you know, his hip is just, he said he's never going to be 100%. You know, Ted Starkey, who's the internet news manager for Newsday, he's also written 2 Caps books. He thinks it's possible we're not going to see him play again. You know, he had that hip surgery last offseason, and some people are saying that should have kept him out for most of the regular season, if not all of the regular season, and he came back because he wanted to play. His hip's never going to be 100% again, so Backstrom's in a situation where just reality, he, one, has to think about life after hockey, but also he's not going to be available necessarily every game. So now you're looking at it. So let's say, theoretically, that Backstrom retires. Or he goes and has another hip surgery, and he's on long-term injury reserve, right? So let's pretend his cap hit. And I don't know how it works if you retire, how your cap hit works. Like, I don't think it just disappears, but I could be wrong. Ryan, help us out. But you put him on LTIR. So that means you've got, one, $9.2 million that have come off your cap. And you're like, all right, I got some money to play with. Who are you bringing in to be your second line center? Kuznetsov's still your first line center, even though he's gonna, you know, he's turning 30 in, oh, he's turning 30 in 2 days. Happy birthday.
All right.
I think that he's, I mean, at 30 as your first line center, that's fine. He's, I mean, he had a bounce back. as much as we make fun of him, we're annoyed about his lack of play last year and his other problems. You know, he's got 2 goals, 5 assists. He's the top line center for this team. No question about it. But who's your second line center? It's not Lars Eller. Not long term. So are you going to go find someone as a free agent? That's going to cost you a bit. And if Backstrom comes back at some point, then you have a cap problem. Or are you going to go trade for someone thinking they're potentially long-term? I don't know who that is, but that's obviously not my problem. That's McClellan's problem. But it sounds like this team could potentially, one way or another, be it for part of the season or going forward, need a second-line center. Now, they potentially have a guy on the roster already that could be their second-line center in Connor McMichael,
who they gave mere seconds to in that last game.
Yeah, I don't think Laviolette necessarily thinks of him as a second line center next season. And maybe McMichael's not ready for it. You know, maybe he would get more minutes. He wouldn't take advantage of it because he's not ready yet. I don't know, obviously, because I can't, one, predict the future, and two, I'm not in the locker room. But clearly Laviolette's not giving him the ice time to allow him to potentially produce. You know, he might not. And clearly Laviolette is seeing something or has something about McMichael that that makes him think this kid's not ready yet. So that is what it is. So who's your second line center next season if it's not Nick Backstrom? Because it sounds like one way or another, he's not going to be ready. Or he's not going to be able to play every night. So do you move out, let's say, hypothetically, do you move out Lars Eller and bump Backstrom down to the third line? You still need a second line center. So now you're having to make a trade. What do you have of value that another team is going to want that you can let go to get a second line center? You know, is it LaPierre? If you're getting a 24, 25 year old, it's certainly a good conversation to have. But I don't know who. And that's only part of your problem, because your defense also is going to need a little bit of work, as not that necessarily these guys are playing a ton, but Matt Irwin's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Michael Kempney's going to be an unrestricted free agent, but neither one of those guys I would imagine is coming back unless it's on like a minor league or backup deal. And Justin Schultz is expected to be an unrestricted free agent, or projected, I should say. He's also turns 32 this summer, so I'm not necessarily against having him not come back. Defensively, this team's average age right now is 30.1. They need to get younger on defense. Carlson will be 33 halfway through next season. Orlov turns 31 this summer. Jensen turns 32 before next season. Van Riemsdyk turns 31 this summer. And then there's Favari, who turns 23. So we need to get a little younger. Is it, you know, time for Alexiev? Is it time for, you know, is Iorio come up? We'll see what happens in preseason and in rookie camp next year. You know, Iorio turns 20 next year. Alexiev turns 23 relatively early in the season, middle of November. You've got some young guys that you could. Does Lucas Johansson finally get an opportunity, a long-term opportunity, or a longer look? He turns 25 mid-next season, but you have to. This team needs to go younger, and I feel like I'm crazy, but I could have sworn McClellan said he wanted to go younger.
No, I remember him saying that. That was in the media day on Monday.
Yeah, more minutes for Axel Janssen-Fjällby. Like, I think he needs to be on the fourth line, him and Dowd, because he got a new contract. He's here for a couple more years. He's got 3 more years. Him, Dowd, and Hathaway. Fourth line next year. Let them all grow out their hair, and they all can, you know, just be like yours. Just have it flowing behind their helmets. As they can do the Troy Polamalu if they want. And, you know, it'll be great. It'll be the hair flowing line.
Right. you unpacked a lot there, so I'm going to try to remember all
that. I had a lot to yell about. Well, talk sternly about. I don't know.
So I want to go back to Backstrom here. Do you think the Capitals and maybe the medical staff are somewhat to blame for this? Did they allow him to come back too early? Do you think this was an issue of rushing a player back because he had missed months and months of ice time? Is there a chance that he came back too early and that this issue could have been aggravated because of, you know, the extensive play he's had this season? Or is this just literally, it's a hockey injury, he's an older guy, it's a part about being an athlete?
I feel like I would lean more towards the latter in terms of he's a bit older, injuries happen, And, you know, sometimes really promising careers. Not that his is like ending early by any means. I mean, he's only 34. So he certainly could. He turns 35 at the end of November. He certainly could have, you know, 4 or 5 more years. He's got 3 more years on his contract. He's my favorite player, so I hope he's back. But, I think he's been around the league long enough. I think he has enough, even though he's not verbal in terms of, like, and he's not flashy. Like, he's not someone that's in the media in the spotlight. But I think he has enough clout. I think he has enough seniority to say, if they came to him and were like, we need you back, he's going to go, well, I can't turn, so no. Like, that's no, I'm not doing that. Like, I think we're in a – it sounds like – and I think I felt like I read something with him where he said he wanted to come back. Like, he wanted to play. It might have been Ted Stark he was talking about. But that he wanted to play. And if he felt injured, if he felt like he couldn't do it, like, he wasn't playing. And it would have been on to McClellan and Laviolette to figure something out, being, you know, someone from within the organization to having to go out and make a trade. But I think right now they need to go. I mean, this might be something we see later in the summer. Like, I don't know if they necessarily make a move now. Well, obviously they can't. Their playoffs are still happening. But, like, once a team is – once Edmonton is hoisting the cup now that I've said that, there's no chance they're going to win because I'm the kiss of death.
Way to go.
But once someone's hoisting the cup and they can start making moves, I would anticipate Backstrom's situation kind of playing out a little bit later in the summer because they want to kind of see how some of his rehab in the summer goes before they make a move. Now, part of the thing could be, you know what, whether he could start next season, but he's not going to be available necessarily every night. He's going to need a game off every once in a while. Maybe we want to, you know, ease up his workload a bit. Maybe we want to have a third line of him and the geriatric line of him and Oshie. We'll get another old dude out there, and we'll have, you know, that could be the third line, and we'll bring in a second line center in their mid to late 20s who can come in, and he and Kuznetsov can be the next, you know, set of top centers. And maybe it's time for Lars Eller, even though he's the hero of Game 7, scoring one of the biggest goals in Capitals history, maybe it's time to see if you can move him on and free up a little bit of his cap space. Although whoever you bring in probably is going to be more than his 3.5. Eller also is out of contract after next season. So, you know, maybe it's time to start looking for a new second-line center, move Backstrom to the third line, and bring in, I don't know, someone. Not going to be Mike Ribeiro. That dude just got arrested.
Did he really?
Yeah, it was earlier in the month. He got arrested for sexual assault allegations. Clearly, that dude's got something going on with him, and he needs to seek help and stop hurting people. But, you know, maybe, you know, this is the end of an era. Or we're starting to see the possibilities of the end of an era of the young guys or the young guns. You know, Alexander Semin's long gone. Mike Green's retired. You know, Ovechkin and Backstrom are the only ones from the original young guns. And they're not young guys anymore. You know, Ovechkin's going to be 37 before next. Doesn't seem like he's slowing down any. But if I'm McClellan, that's what I'm doing in this offseason. I'm looking to free up a little bit of cap space, even though this move would potentially add more. But maybe I'm looking at moving Backstrom down a line, even though he still got that. I mean, that's a lot of money wrapped up in your third line at 9.2. But if I can go and find a guy that's still got a couple of years left on a deal, mid to late 20s.
I can do that.
We have too many of those guys. But I can find a guy that's, you know, between four and five for a second line center spot. It just depends what I have to give up. But I'm replacing some of these guys. You know, I'm letting Johan Larsson, as much as I thought his name is cool and I'd like to have him on the team, I'm looking at replacing him with Jonsson Fjällby, and I just cut 5 years, 6 years almost, 5.5 years in terms of my team's overall age, with a guy that was doing actually pretty well, I thought, before they acquired Larsson. So I know I've got him wrapped up for at least another year. I need to know what I got in him, because after next season, he's a restricted free agent. I need to know what I have. You know, I can offer him a qualifying deal, but if I'm not sure, and do I really want to waste any more cap space? Do I want to waste time? He's 24 years old. He'll be 25 relatively middle of February. Let's see what we got in this kid. Let's put him in there. Put him with Dowd and Hathaway. Let him play. Let him have some fun. You know, maybe it's McMichael playing on the left to start with Backstrom and Oshie. And then I bring in a center to play between, or I guess with Mantha, and I don't know who would be on the, oh, Sheary. I'm okay with moving on from Connor Sheary. Then am I looking for two? second line player? Am I looking for a winger and a center for the second line?
So the way you're talking, you seem like you're about to have a fire sale and we're doing a rebuild.
Well, no, I see. No, it's not. No, because fire sale implies I'm getting rid of all the big names. Like, I'm looking to retool a bit. Right now, if I'm doing the depth chart for the Capitals, I got my first line, Ovechkin, Kuznetsov, and Wilson. I got two open spots on the second line. And I haven't actually played with the numbers to see if this would even work, but I got two open spots. I got two guys I need to find to play with Anthony Mantha. And maybe one of those spots could be taken up by McMichael. Maybe one, you know, someone coming up from the minors, a surprise. I don't know. Third line, I'm looking at maybe it's McMichael, Backstrom, and Oshie, which I think gives McMichael plenty of opportunities to get some offensive production in there with two very good, albeit older, offensive players who can also play pretty solid defensive hockey. And then my fourth line is Johnsson Fjällby, Dowd, and Hathaway. Now, those are the forwards. Defensively, I'm sure we can see Carlson and Favari again. Orlov, is he back with, I don't know, Jensen and then Van Riemsdyk and, I don't know, maybe Alexiev or one of the other young guys. But they need to start plugging in with some younger players. This team needs to get younger. I'm looking to potentially move out Eller. I'm moving out Sheary because I need the space. And I need to bring in some guys that are a little bit younger that are going to contribute. You can't afford to have the geriatric. I made the joke, but you know, I can't afford to have the old guys, the retirement home. This team needs to get younger and get ready for the era that is going to be post-Ovechkin and potentially in the near future post-Backstrom.
Now, let me ask you, if Backstrom were to retire, let's say he comes out sometime in June and says, we talked to some doctors, he did the Henrik's Lundqvist route. Talked to some doctors, we tried out some things, doctors say, I just can't do it anymore. I'm retiring. Congratulations, Backstrom, career, I'm one of the best Capitals ever. Hoist his number up into the rafters.
Oh, definitely. Him, Bondra, Kolzig.
But what does this mean for Ovi's game? Because the two of them have been attached. Well, I mean, this is a bad analogy, but attached
don't
at the
do
hip.
It. Don't. Oh!
Attached at the
Boo.
Hip. They've been attached to the hip their entire careers. Lockout year, they both went to Dynamo Moscow and they played in the KHL. So they've always played together. They've never been separated for very long.
But not
now,
recently.
Backstrom has been playing on a different line. Yeah, absolutely. But for them not to even have the option to move him up because he might have a bad night or he's not going to be there, in my analogy, you know, having your buddies on the road with you and that kind of stuff. I know Ovi pals around with his Russian boys. That's what got him in trouble during the COVID year. But Backy and Ovi, that's who we gave the cup to. You know, that was the first guy that got the cup after Ovi was Backy. So obviously they've got a really strong bond. What do you think if Backstrom were to retire, what does that mean for Ovechkin's game?
I don't know if it really makes a difference, to be honest, because... Oh, you know what we forgot about when we were talking about guys who could be playing? What about Joe Snively? He was doing really well.
That's right. He got hurt.
Is he a guy for the third line, potentially playing with the old men and Backstrom and Oshie? As a possibility, something I was thinking about. But, they have potential guys that could fill in that are already on this roster. But no, I mean, I think with Backstrom out, I don't think it really affects Ovechkin necessarily point-wise because he's been playing with Kuznetsov the last couple of years. So I don't feel like it's really going to hurt him enough that it's going to make enough of a difference. You know, can it? Yeah, maybe. But I think he's really been playing mostly with Ovechkin. And I'm sorry. Kuznetsov's been playing mostly with Ovechkin. So, you know, I don't think it affects him necessarily in the way that we are anticipating it would because they just haven't been playing together.
That's true. I mean, I hope we haven't seen the last of Backstrom on the ice, but I also hope that he can, you know, lead a pretty normal life after hockey and he can, he can be as strong as he can be in his own life. So we'll see what happens, I guess, in the summer to see what the next step is. But having a lot of injuries, you know, Tom Wilson got hurt in the first game of this series against Florida and he came out and said it was a pretty significant knee injury and there's potential of him missing time next season. Like, we're already looking into October of him not being back because there's potential of surgery there. So besides him, you have TJ Oshie, who got hurt earlier. He had a bad foot. He had a broken foot, and then he had some back issues. And Ovi even got hurt at the end of the regular season. So this is definitely a team. I guess it's a part of the age issue, but this is a team that is banged up. Is it? I don't know why that's happening. Is it because of like the brand of hockey that these guys are playing? This is more of a big man push everybody around type of hockey. Is that what is kind of leading to these injuries? Is this more of an age thing? What do you think?
I think it's mostly an age thing. As you get older, your bodies don't heal as quickly. And so I think that's part of why this team needs to get younger, so that the injuries don't play necessarily. I mean, injuries affect young players as well. I'm not saying that, you know, you don't get hurt when you're younger, but you're not necessarily going to be out as long. And obviously that varies from person to person. But I think that they are looking to get younger, which only can help them in the long run, because it gives them an opportunity to have guys that may not be out as long. And I think, you know, I mean, take the Haglund injury out of it, because that was such a freak thing. You're looking at Oshie had injuries, foot and back issues, make the old person joke. Or, I mean, the old person joke makes itself right there. Ovechkin had an injury towards the end of the season. We talked about Backstrom. We talked about Wilson. Wilson's the young guy with the injury, so that's a little different, because he's, you know, Wilson's what? He'll be 29 towards the end of next season. He just turned 28 at the end of March. So I think his is a little bit more of a freak thing, where he just had a knee injury, and hopefully it doesn't necessarily affect his game long term. But I think, you know, that's part of the issue with having an older team. They just take longer to heal.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy, the Haglund thing that we were talking about. He's already had, what, two surgeries, I believe?
Yeah, I think so.
And he's saying he won't ever get 100% of his vision back. But that's
crazy to me.
He actually said in one of the interviews, I don't know if you saw it or not, that they actually were talking about, like, the day it happened, that they were going to have to take his eyeball out to get, like...
Were they going
to
put it back?
I would hope so. Like, but there was talk of him, like, losing his eye. That's how serious this injury was. And it just kind of happened
that's
at practice.
Disturbing.
Yeah, that's wild. But Carl Hagelin, he's another guy. He has a year left on his contract, but he might... you know, be a guy that has to retire because of this injury that he's had. I would imagine that the Capitals after this year wouldn't re-sign him again after that year is up. Because they have bigger fish to fry at this point. They've got bigger needs.
I don't think they can trade him. That's the other issue.
But a lot of these guys are just going to be forced into retirement, which is actually really, really sad. Let's talk a little bit about goaltending, though. You said you weren't blaming the goaltenders for this early exit of the Stanley Cup playoffs. I do think that they do definitely have some of the blame, but it's kind of crazy how both of these guys, for two seasons now, both of them have been given multiple opportunities to kind of prove that they were the number one goaltender and it should be their job or whatever. And neither guy just would go forward, and neither guy would take a step forward and solidify themselves as the number one guy. I mean, Vitek, he was a Seattle Kraken, and we traded to get him back. Like, that's how much we wanted this guy back.
Second round pick.
Right. I mean, that is what they were trying for, was to get this guy back and see what he could do. I don't want to say that this experiment was a failure, but you've got two good goaltenders. You don't have one great goaltender, and no goaltender that you can really, the team can count on to dig them out of a ditch if the Capitals, you know, were to get down in a series or something. It's you said it earlier. Sometimes you need your goaltender to be your best penalty kill player, and these guys, neither of them were. They would constantly, either of them, just choke in the middle of the game. So I've always been a big supporter of Vitek, but I don't think he's the guy. I don't think Sammy's the guy. But Brian McClellan has some decisions to make on what to do next. I mean, there are a couple unrestricted goaltenders that are out there. You know, you could potentially bring Braden Holtby back, maybe use one of these guys as a backup. But you have right now two really mediocre goaltenders. I don't really know if there's going to be a buyer out there for that. And I believe they're both restricted free agents, so you've at least got them for a little bit extra time. I don't know. I don't know what to do with these two guys. I don't think that next season, looking forward to that, I don't think either of these guys are the number one goaltender next year.
I mean, I would agree. I think one of them is going to be gone in a trade, either as part of a package or traded for a defenseman or a winger forward somewhere along there. But the question is, who do they bring in place? Like, who's going to be their number one? The only person I could see that's going to be a free agent that they could have a shot at, you're looking at, you know, maybe Jack Campbell coming out of Toronto. I don't think he wants to leave. I'm sure they'll find a way to work something out. You've got Jake Oettinger in Dallas, but he's restricted, actually, free agent, so I don't think he's going anywhere. I'm sure they'll sign him to a deal. And you talked about Holpe. I don't know if we really need to go down that path again. I don't know. Maybe he's a little bit more steady, but I don't know if he's really better overall than either of our options at the moment. And really the guy that's going to make some waves and be the big goaltender of this offseason is going to be Darcy Kuemper, whether he resigns with Colorado or not. But he's already 32. He had a heck of a season.
I don't think the Capitals could afford him.
That's the other thing I was going to say, is that his cap, he's coming off a cap hit of $4.5 million. He's probably looking to double that or get something close to doubling that. This team can't afford it. They're going to be looking for a goalie, be it, you know, that's currently a number two, or they're going to look to find a team that has a number one that maybe they're looking to – they want to be in the position the Caps were in a couple of years ago, where they were looking at, you know, Holpe's not going to come back, or if Holpe was signed to another year or so, maybe they're looking to move him out. So maybe there's a team that's looking to move out someone that's a little bit older because they have a young guy coming in. I don't know who, but I don't think this team's starting goalie on the first night next season, barring, you know, injuries or anything. The guy who's starting that first game is not currently on the roster. I think he's a free agent or a – he's currently wearing another team's jersey.
Are they – is this person wearing a Hershey Bears jersey, or are they already in the NHL?
No. No, 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 no. I think whoever it is has been playing somewhere else in the NHL, or I don't think he'll find a gem over in Europe. But I think whoever it is that's starting game one next season, it better not be someone currently in the Caps organization, because we've seen that these guys are not consistent enough that we have. Even Samsonov, I thought, had pretty good playoffs. It's not Fucali. It's any one of those guys. I think it's got to be someone who's been in the league and is hopefully not going to cost too much, because you can't afford it without either having Backstrom retire, which you then have to replace with someone who's probably going to be equally expensive, or not equally, but close to. You know, are you looking at moving out Eller in his 3.5? The problem is their forward depth. Well, I was going to say they don't really have a lot, but that's not entirely true. I mean, you have Protas, who had a nice spell up with the team. We talked about Joe Snively, Brett Leeson. Like, is it time to start giving these guys a real run? A long number of games to give them an opportunity to really show themselves. I think that's a good next season's a good opportunity. You've got that kid they signed. Was he the college free agent? Rabinski. So yeah, I think that, you know, some of these young guys might need to be given an opportunity to take a spot that's currently held onto by a veteran, but that means you got to find someone to take these guys off your hands. You need to find someone that wants Lars Eller for $3.5 million. Someone who wants Connor Sheary at $1.5 million. That's not as hard to move. Someone who wants, I don't know, Jensen, maybe, probably not. Van Riemsdyk, his is actually pretty low cap it. Someone who wants Vitek Vanacek or Ilya Samsonov. Someone who wants to take on Carl Hagelin if he's coming off long-term injury reserve. Or do they do what they did with Kempney? Do they just dump him in the minors?
I'm sure that they will listen to offers for either goaltender, but realistically, do you think that they will get rid of both of these guys, or do you think they hang on one without the other? Like, I'm thinking you hang on to Vitek just because he's cheaper for the next season, since he is a restricted free agent. But if somebody does call and they're asking about Sammy or asking about Vitek, I mean, if I'm Brian McClellan, I'm listening to any offer coming
in.
Yeah,
I'm definitely going with the better opportunity. So if I'm offered a better pick, if I'm offered a better package, a better return for one guy versus the other, then fine. Because if they're looking at Samsonov is the future and they need someone for 1 or 2 years, and then he's taken over when he's 27 or 28, then you move out Vanacek. But right now, I think it depends on the offer. And if Samsonov can get you a better package, if Samsonov can get you that second-line center or second-line winger, then I'm taking that deal. And, you know, with obviously having had a plan in mind or someone already signed up to be your starting goalie next season, whether it's Darcy Kemper or somebody. Although I don't love the idea of Kemper because I think he's already, what, 32, if I have that correct? Yeah, he's already 32. So I think, you know, I'm taking the better deal. And then it is what it is. And if they turn out to be a really good goalie at some point in the future, like, good for him. You know, that's awesome. I'm glad that it worked out. But because I don't see it working out in D.C.
Well, I kind of feel like we're at a mode right now of, like, your favorite meme of the guy shrugging, you know, with the hands up. Because, like, I feel like that's where we're at right now as an organization because, like, that's the thing. It's like, we got a lot of issues. Which one do we tackle first? I don't know. You know, how worried are we that Backstrom isn't going to be coming back? Do you get that second line center now? Or do you wait a year or two? Does he come back? Do you get somebody in the minors that's cheap to play the games that Backstrom can't play? Do you move out Lars Eller this year? Not wait for his contract to run out. If you have Carl Hagelin coming back, what does that mean for the rest of the team? Like, there's so many questions. There's so many things being asked right now as the Caps organization. For the Caps not to win since 2018, that really does say something. I mean, obviously what they have going on, whether it be with Todd Reirden or Laviolette or whoever, it's just not working. And they got kind of lucky with what they had in 2018. They had lightning in a bottle. And it kind of shows how hard it is to be a repeat champion. So, you know, you got to go hats off to Tampa Bay for doing that. And the fact that they're still in it right now, going for it up against Florida in the semifinals. I mean, there's potential they could three-peat it. I don't think they will, but there's a chance they could definitely three-peat it. They're still on the hunt right now. The Capitals, though, they're up against a wall right now. And if I'm Brian McClellan or Laviolette, I think that the seat's a little warm. I don't know if they're in the hot seat.
I agree.
But I think it's a little warm.
Well, it seems like McClellan, he showed support for Laviolette. So it doesn't seem like the coaching staff is necessarily going to change.
Well, of course he is. Like, he's not going to come out and be like, damn, I shouldn't have gotten rid of Barry.
No, I don't think he's going to come out and do that. But I meant in terms of, like, you know, you don't have to necessarily get, then again, sometimes giving the coach the sort of support is the kiss of death in the end. But you didn't have to come out and necessarily make a bunch of excuses for why the team struggled. You know, because it's one thing to be like, hey, Peter's our guy. We're not going to get rid of him. It's another to be like, well, we had this problem with injuries, and then this is an issue with COVID. We had this with this, this problem and this problem. And I think in that regard, to me, it seems like, you know, he wants to hang on to Laviolette. He wants to give him, I mean, he's got 1 year left on his deal. He's given him another opportunity to try and make something out of this team. And obviously, we're going to see what happens.
And we kind of have been giving Laviolette a hard time. I know I have. But you got to give it to the guy. He came in a terrible situation. I mean, COVID, the last couple years have not been anywhere near what he probably would like to have done during the season. So you got to give the guy credit for coming in and working under these conditions. Like, I think he said at the beginning of last year, he met people he worked with last year for the first time in September, and yeah, they had been working together for a year at that point. So it has been rough. You know, he's coached and played in front of zero fans. They've had Zoom meetings instead of in-face meetings, so it's a little bit harder for him to coach that way. He was supposed to come in, and he was supposed to have Hedrick Lundqvist as the goaltender, and then that didn't happen. Just the beginning of this year, it was pretty much like the Hershey Bears. There were so many young guys in the lineup. So, I mean, this is definitely a very difficult situation he finds himself in. And I thought those first two games in the playoffs, we were like, all right, this is why we brought this guy in. He knows how to play in the playoffs. He's been teaching it throughout the regular season so far. So maybe that's what he's doing. Fell apart real quick after those first two games, or three games, I guess I should say. But I don't know. I think I think Brian McClellan, I think Laviolette, I think both the seats are a little warm right now. I don't think it's the hot seat, but maybe after the moves they are forced to make this offseason, that's really going to be like the final nail in the coffin. You know, when George McPhee traded for Martin Erat, gave away Philip Forsberg, I thought when that trade happened, when that was like a deadline 3 p.m. trade, I remember sitting in my office going, if this doesn't work out, George McPhee is gone. I just had a feeling. I'm like, this is his hill he's dying on. If this doesn't work out, it's over.
Let's see. Forsberg got traded 2013. I still don't understand the Forsberg trade. That was done. And I like how McClellan, when he became the GM, he was like, I didn't agree with that trade at the time. I was like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. No, it was the next year. He got traded April. McClellan was named GM in May of 2014. Forsberg was traded 2013. So he had got one more year to not do a good job. Because remember, they missed the playoffs, which is why they both left.
That was the beginning of the end then.
No, I think that's fair to say. I mean, that was moving out Forsberg was such a gamble that I don't understand. Like, Erat, I don't know how they thought bringing in Erat was like, this is the guy that's going to push us over the line. You know, if they moved out Forsberg for a guy who was scoring a ton of goals, they'd be like, yeah, all right. I think McPhee panicked because he wasn't getting what he wanted in the trade. And hey, whatever. It worked out because they got McClellan, and then everything kind of fell into place and they won the cup. But for now, this team needs, you know, McClellan's got some hard decisions to make because they have a fair amount of players that are getting older, and this team needs to get younger, it needs to get faster, and it's not going to do that by having a bunch of dudes in their 30s.
Well, Coach Dan, anything else we should cover here in Caps World?
Let's see. Kempney joined, talking about Kempney before, he joined the Czech Republic team at this past Monday at the World Championship, as did Martin Favari. He joined Team Slovakia. So they get to keep playing a little bit of hockey.
The World Championship has been a lot of fun to watch. Again, since I'm in quarantine, there's only so much you can do. So I've been watching a lot of those games, not just U.S. games, and I've really been enjoying it. It's been a lot of fun. And I'm excited to see Martin Fehervaari and Michael Kempney playing for their home countries. So
former Washington Capitol Michael Kempney. About to be.
That's true. That's very true. There are a couple ex-Capitals where I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, Philip Grubauer. Yeah, he's playing for Team Germany. I know that name. It's kind of like if I'm like on Twitter or whatever, and then the commentator be like, oh, so-and-so. And I'm like, wait, I know that guy. All right, well, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Nothing's going on down on the farm. Those seasons are over. So now let's go around the NHL and beyond. All right, everybody, here we go. We're going around the NHL and beyond. Plenty of stuff going on around the NHL. It's not just the Stanley Cup playoffs. Stuff off the ice is happening as well. Lots of coaches moving around. Coach Dan, catch us all up. What's going on around the NHL and beyond?
Well, we heard about how Trotz got fired last week by the Islanders, and then how he was actually in the D.C. area.
Right.
Shortly after that. I think he's buddies with the Mystics head coach, and so he was at the game that they had, I think, last week. But the Islanders didn't waste too much time as they announced Monday that they have promoted Lane Lambert to be their new head coach, former Capitals assistant and Islanders assistant, buddy with Barry Trotz. He now replaces him on Long Island. Vegas, not to be outdone, has fired head coach Peter DeBoer after missing the playoffs for the first time in their short franchise history. Edmonton's Darnell Nurse was suspended for headbutting LA's Philip Danault. And then Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman is reporting that the first team that we're talking about, Barry Trotz, the first team that's going to have an opportunity to chat with him will be the Winnipeg Jets.
That's who you guessed last week.
Which I believe, well, that's because I was reading people saying that. Like, it wasn't my guess in terms of, like, I'm smart. It was my ability to read and then repeat what I saw. I think I read also that he's from Manitoba. So that might be a nice spot for him to have an opportunity to do something. I think there. I think Boudreaux, it was announced he's coming back to Vancouver, so that takes them off the boards in terms of a place for him to land. In international news, the IIHF World Championship began this past Friday the 13th. That's not creepy. Team USA has gone 1-1-1 so far, defeating Latvia this past Friday. They got an overtime win over Austria on Saturday, and then they lost to Finland on Monday in an embarrassing 4-1 defeat. The way IIHF World Championship works is that you get, what is it, 3 points for a win in regulation, 2 points for a win in overtime? Do I have that right?
You get 1 point.
One point. 1 point for a win in overtime. So, a little different than the NHL. Team USA's next game is on Thursday the 19th against Great Britain at 9:20 in the morning. And if you live in the U.S., you can watch that game on the NHL Network. Let's head back to the NHL for a playoffs update. And, Brandon, let's see how we did. I think you actually did really well.
I got the Bruins wrong, and that's it. I got everybody else right.
Let me go back and see what mine were. Let's see. I had Tampa, so I got that right. Right? Yeah. I had Carolina.
Yeah, I didn't get that one.
I had the Rangers. I got that one. I got lucky. I got Colorado, but I think everyone had that coming. Both of us are wrong in number of games. They just brushed Nashville aside. I had Minnesota. Whoops. Calgary. I got that one. And I got Edmonton. Oh, actually, I did pretty good.
Yeah, not bad.
Yeah! Finally. We got the Battle of Florida and the Panthers will be taking on Tampa Bay. We've got the Battle of the East Coast, I guess, in Carolina against the Rangers. We got Colorado versus St. Louis in the Stan Kroenke battle. Brandon, if you're not quite sure what that joke is, it's that Kroenke took the Rams out of St. Louis. He's also the owner of the Colorado Avalanche. So I imagine Blues fans, who also happen to be football fans, will be particularly interested in having the Blues win that series.
Well, that's interesting.
And then we have the Battle of Alberta, which everybody on Twitter was hoping for, in Calgary, taking on Edmonton.
So that's a solid one.
This is going to be a fun next round of hockey. But that I actually, typically, I don't watch much hockey after the Caps get knocked out. I might check out a couple of these games. I think it's actually going to be kind of fun.
I'm right there with you. Usually when the Caps are out, I'm like, okay, I've had my fill.
Moving on to the
I'm done. Yeah, I'm going to actually like binge watch some shows. I'm actually going to watch TV that isn't sports related. That's cool. I'm going to get a free night back. Not going to be recording the podcast. So I'm just going to zone out of hockey. But the Battle of Alberta, I don't know. I might be tuning in for each game because Flames versus Oilers. I just want to hear the crowd because that crowd is going to be going bananas.
Oh, I can imagine. But these are two teams, Edmonton, Calgary, that mean a lot up there. And should we do our predictions for this round? Not that we talked about this beforehand. Should we do our predictions real quick?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, Florida, Tampa. Who do you got?
I got Tampa.
He's going Tampa in
7.
Whoa, he's going to go a good series. I think Florida, they have their comeback, but they're actually playing against a team that knows what they're doing. Caps know what they're doing. They just couldn't keep it up. I'm going to go Tampa. I'm going to go in 6. Carolina and the Rangers. Who you got?
I'm going Rangers.
Ooh, interesting. He's going Rangers in.
I'm going to go 7 again.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm going Carolina in 7. Kroenke battle. Colorado against St. Louis. Who do you got?
Colorado.
In?
6.
All right. I'm going Colorado in 5.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was 4. They're blowing everybody out of the way. All right. Battle of Alberta. Who you got?
Going Edmonton.
Oh, in what?
6.
I don't know what that noise is that I just made. Ooh, Edmonton 6. I am going to. I think this might be the only one we're going to disagree with. This is the Carolina Rangers one. I think I also agree Edmonton. I don't know. Calgary's pretty good though, but I think I'll go. Who's got home ice in that one?
No idea.
Looks like Calgary does. Can Edmonton steal one? I'm going to go Calgary. I'm sorry. I'm going to go Edmonton in 7. So that means we both basically have Colorado against Edmonton in the Western Conference Finals. And then Tampa versus, think the Rangers, I say Carolina. Oh, God, I really don't like who's coming out of the East. No matter what, I'm going to be upset. Although I don't really know if there's a team in the East that I wouldn't have been upset about going that was in the playoffs.
I just don't want Tampa to get there.
To be fair, actually, Toronto I wouldn't have been that annoyed by. Because whatever, I don't really care about Toronto. But I'm pulling for a West Coast Stanley Cup winner. Let's put it that way. Western Conference, I should say, Stanley Cup winner. I'll go with that. But yeah, that's it for the past week in the NHL and beyond.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet at Brando Cash. Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking Caps hockey as things may happen. I'm sure I'll throw my opinion out there. I'll also talk about Arsenal Football Club and how they've let their season get away from them, but not with these past two games. If you can look anywhere, you can look to the three games prior to the wins over United and Chelsea. That's where their season became undone, if we're going to be fair. As well, and they're also talking about – Brandon's got no idea what I'm talking about. Also on there talking about – I missed out on the Champions League, buddy. It really would have made a difference. But it's okay. Youngest team in the league by average age. We got the Caps, oldest team in the league. Arsenal, youngest team in the league by average age. Bright future ahead for those guys. I'm excited for next season. I'm excited to see what the summer brings. Bring in a couple players. Come on, Gabriel Jesus. They're not getting Dybala, though. Also on there talking about the Bills, the Commanders. We'll see how they do. I'm sure the Commanders do something stupid in the next couple weeks to annoy everybody and be a continual embarrassment upon the region, franchise, and the planet Earth. That's finding me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where we'll post when new shows are coming out, as well as all other sorts of things regarding the Washington Capitals, the Hershey Bears, South Carolina Stingrays, occasionally the Hershey Cubs. Maybe if we could ever get a team in Baltimore, we'll throw them on there as well. Maybe Richmond somewhere along the way. Maybe Norfolk, we'll get that team. Although I don't want to lose the Bears. Oh, Norfolk's ECHL team, so that might work out. But anyways, that's following us on Facebook at Facebook.com, or liking us on Facebook at Facebook.com/WhatThePuckPod. Brandon, I was talking about the Bills and the Commanders a moment ago. Bills right now ranked one of the best teams, if not the best team in the NFL next season, based on one thing that I saw. If someone happens to be a fan of a team based out of the city of Baltimore,
sorry, you can listen to my Ravens podcast called The Call. Me and my buddy Josh talk all things Baltimore Ravens football. We did a show last week while I was still sick with COVID, by the way, about the NFL schedule coming out. Not a lot of marquee matchups for the Ravens. I mean, a lot of 1 o'clocks, couple night games. Nothing too crazy, though. No internationals, no holidays, nothing like that. So I'm a little bit bummed about that, but we go over the schedule. OTAs are coming up soon, I think in the next week or two. We'll do a show about that. Now, this podcast you listen to for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Washington Capitals fan, I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So make sure you stay subscribed to us on whatever podcast app you use. Make sure you like us over on Facebook. Shows are definitely going to become a little bit more sporadic throughout the summer as Coach Dan's schedule gets a little bit crazier. My schedule gets a little bit crazier, and it's not going to be as much to talk about. So we'll be around from time to time. So make sure you guys just stay in contact with us over on Facebook or on our Twitter accounts, and we will let you know when a new show comes out. So that's pretty much it for the show this week and this season. Coach Dan, any final words shutting the door on this season for the Washington Capitals?
I am glad to see the backside of it, because it was not one to write home for the Capitals, and I think this is a bit of a turning point for this organization in terms of it should be in terms of how to move forward. We need to see, you know, a couple different players, a couple new players for next season. I want to see at least three, and new can be from within the organization. You know, guys that weren't here at the beginning of last season or the end of this season. I want to see three or four new faces on opening night.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Godspeed, Nick Backstrom. We'll figure out what happens next. But anyway, we're still Caps fans. We still love these guys. We still love this team. But that is it for the show this week. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.